Welcome to the Christ Life Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Olubi Johnson. For more information about this podcast and our other resources, please visit spcconline.org. God bless you.
There are a lot of people on the earth today who have honest hearts. There are a lot of people on the earth today who are honest, are hearts that are more honest than many born-again Christians. They're not born again yet, but their hearts are honest. They are like Cornelius. They are like Paul, Saul. Saul was wreaking havoc in the church, but he had a good heart. And God knew. So what did God do? He sent the glory of God that hit him from his high horse, literally, onto the ground. He went down as Saul. He came up as Paul. He said, "Lord, what shall I do?" And once God gave him his marching orders, he never looked back. Give the Apostle Paul a clap offering. Number two. There's something else I'll say in number one. I'm just going to hit it running. You know, these manifested sons of God and disciples, both with full anointing and borrowed anointing, will go to all the nations. The Bible says, thy saving health among all nations. This COVID will be nothing. People say, please get your vaccination. Don't misunderstand me. But the power of God will be such a manifestation. You know, people will be healed. The Bible says, yeah, you get vaccination, but go to the church. Once they pray for you, we never get COVID again. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Because it will be tested experimentally. So once they pray for you, you don't get COVID again. See, that's the thing about I shared this last week about the manifested sons of God. Everybody say, consistent, instant healing. Everybody say it again. You didn't say it properly. It's consistent, instant healing, like fever, like when Jesus healed Simon's mother-in-law. Like when he healed the woman with the issue of blood, will be as common as tongues is now. Because of the borrowed anointing, this full measure. Healing will not be anything. It will be there, but you know, it will be something, don't misunderstand me. But I mean, it will be so common. Like during the reign of Solomon, they say silver was so common, it had no value. Healing will be so common, you will not be able to make money anymore out of healing. Because almost on every road, in every town, in everywhere, there will be people who born again disciples who inherit at least the borrowed anointing that will be able to pray for you. You don't need to go and see the big man of God. The small boy down the road will heal you instantly. Give the Lord a clap offering. Number two, political relief. We are now facing all kinds of challenges politically. I'm just going to hit it running. You know, in Psalm 144, in verse 10, it says, "Rid me of strange children." It's going to be a fallout of the manifestation of the sons of God. Then in the Bible says, now this one we need to turn there because most people are not familiar with it. Look at Isaiah chapter 2. Am I talking to anybody here? Oh, glory to God. Watch this. You know, he's talking about the exaltation of the church in verses 2 and 3, you know, which is the which is caused by the manifestation of sons of God. Then in verse 4, he said, "He will judge among the nations." I didn't hear you. "And shall rebuke many people." Sadly, not everybody, but many. "And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn any war anymore." The manifestation of the Son of God is going to bring a political relief. It's temporary. Those forces will still be there. Just like, watch this. When you are flying an aeroplane, you do not eliminate the law of gravity. It's still there. You are only superseding it. So long as the engine is working and there's fuel in the plane. The law of gravity is not eradicated, it is superseded. So it is. The manifestation of the sons of God is not going to eradicate sin and evil. That will happen in the millennial reign. But we are now tasting of the powers of the age to come. So what we're going to do is we're not going to eradicate evil. We're not going to eradicate war. We're just going to suspend it. And watch this, darling. In this place shall he give peace. Where the sons of God step in. All this talk in the United Nations and all of that, Security Council, will go to the background. When the sons of God and the prophets come and they speak, peace comes. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Though it will be temporary. Because once we are raptured, all those forces will come back into operation. The Antichrist and all of those things. Number three. Social and economic relief. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 6, arise and shine, for thy light is come. You know, the glory of the Lord will be seen upon thee. The wealth of the nation shall come to thee. But the one I want to zero in on is Isaiah 61:4. It's a scripture that's not too familiar to many people. I have mentioned it here in recent times briefly. You know, let's just mention it. And they shall build the old waste places. I didn't hear you. Ask your neighbor, say, who are the day that we build the old places? Those who are mourning in Zion. Who the Spirit of God has now come upon. Who have now inherited the Spirit without measure. Read it. That's the context. I'm not going to bother to go back to all those verses. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. He says, they that mourn in Zion. He said, they become trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, prof, that he might be glorified. In other words, these trees of righteousness are going to inherit glory. And with that glory, they will now go into the nations and they will build the old waste places. Social and economic relief is coming. You know, God is a good God. He doesn't want all this shaking to finish us. You know, now when you look at what is happening, especially in Nigeria, but not only in Nigeria, all over the world, you know, when you look at what's happening, you wonder, you know, is there any hope? There is hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Give him a clap offering. Social and economic relief. Psalm 144, we're very familiar with that one. No complaining in our streets. Our oxen will be strong to labor. You know, all those great things, they are all going to be a fallout of the glory of the latter house. Now, in closing, how? I dealt with this in a message I preached some weeks ago. Like I said, I didn't receive all the messages together. But looking back now, I can see, you know, like a kind of sequence, is going to, how is this thing going to happen? We're already doing it. And this message is just to prep us up. It says, sons of Issachar, typifying the prophetic preaching and prophetic teaching. Let me just say something about prophetic preaching and teaching. You know, that's what Jesus did. Jesus was a prophetic teacher. In Jesus' ministry, you don't see him saying, thus said the Lord. Hardly. Never, actually. Just see him preach. And the kingdom of God is likened unto 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. It's a prophetic message. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. It's a prophetic message. It's the highest form of prophetic operation. Because it's preaching by revelation. Prophetic preaching and teaching. You see, if I give you a prophecy, thus said the Lord, blah, 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 this is going to happen. And then I don't tell you how you're going to do it. I have inspired you. I have given you zeal. But if I don't give you knowledge and wisdom of how to do it, I've not helped you. In fact, many people have been killed by prophecies without the wisdom to fulfill it. Hence the prophetic teaching ministry, of which I, by the grace and the mercy of God, am a part. And that's what I'm giving you now by the grace and the mercy of God. So, how is this thing going to come to pass? It's going to be done, everybody repeat after me, say, by the amplified power of united prayer in the Spirit, like Jesus. Let me talk about Jesus and I'm going to come back to us and I'm going to close. Number one, you know, I think I mentioned this on Wednesday when I was teaching. You know, Jesus was mature when he was 20. The age of maturity was 21. That's when they joined the army. But he wasn't manifest. He's mature. Even by 12, he wasn't mature at 12. He was still a child. But he had so much wisdom. He had already gotten so much revelation. He was going about his father. The Bible says they were amazed at his understanding and his wisdom. But nothing happened. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. You know, looking back now, of course, the Lord Jesus knew better. Not because he was God, but because he had revelation and he had understanding. Even when he was 21, 22, he wouldn't have said, I'm mature now, let me go out. He knew that he had to wait for full maturity, even though he was already mature. But he was not yet manifest. He was a mature son at 20, but he was not a manifest son until he became 30. What was happening all of those years? He was doing one thing. Well, more than one. But this was the major thing. Who in the days of his flesh, he offered up prayer and supplication with strong crying and tears and was heard in that he feared. He was praying as a daily habit with the fear of God, the love of God as his foundation, with all kinds of prayer in the spirit and travail. What was the power being used for? I'm going to come back to us in a minute. But let me use Jesus because he's the pattern. What was happening with Jesus is that the power that was being generated, those years, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, was being used for two major things. Number one, to keep him, to protect him, and keep him, give him victory over sin. He was tempted in every way like as we are yet without sin. And he was protected and his needs were supplied. He wasn't fantabulously rich, but he had a good carpentry business. He made money. He lived a good life with his dad, Joseph, who died, later on, and his mommy, and his brothers and sisters, he just lived that. That was how he was. The majority of the power was being stored for the time of maturity. You understand this better if you go and listen to my message on economics of prayer. See, God is not like us. He's wiser and he's prudent. He doesn't eat with all the five fingers. So when you pray and power is generated, not all the power is put into the earth at the same time. Especially if you're not mature enough to handle it. A little power is going to be released to meet your needs, to supply your need, not your wants. Hello? Did you hear me? You want me to repeat it? I said, a little power is going to be released to supply your needs and not your wants. Somebody say amen. Three people. I said, somebody say amen. Power will be supplied to protect you so the devil won't kill you and preserve you. Power will be supplied to sanctify you and keep you holy so that nothing messes up your destiny. So when you're praying every day, power is being generated and being channeled into these areas, but the bulk of the power is being stored for the day of showing. And so you wonder, we have been praying. Nothing has happened. Plenty is happening. It's being stored. United, everybody say, amplified power of united prayer in the spirit. So that's what Jesus did. And we're supposed to be doing the same thing. Now, I want to bring out a point before I finish. And everybody say, united. Say it again. I didn't hear you. What does that mean? Practically. United prayer in the spirit. We're praying in tongues already united, but there's another level of unity here. Do you remember scripture that says that where two or three are gathered together in my name? Remember that scripture? Remember what the Bible says? That one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight, five will put 100 to flight, 100 of you will put 10,000 to flight. Leviticus 26:8, Deuteronomy 32:30. Now, when we're talking about united prayer in the Spirit, he said, where they are gathered together in my name. That name is not just Jesus. It's Jesus. Don't misunderstand me. We're all in the name of Jesus. He's talking about character. So we are united in the character, which is love. That's why we preface a lot of our praying with love prayers. Because I've come to understand that if I do a lot of praying in the Spirit and love is not there, it's going to make it that less effective. So when we talk about united prayer in the Spirit, we're talking about people who are all praying in the Spirit in love. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Mommy, thank you. Mommy is my cheerleader. She's number one. All the others, they clapped after they saw mommy clap. The others were just looking at me, Pastor Lupi. Then there's another aspect of unity, which is love. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, which we're in now, the book we're studying at the moment. In verse 10, you know what it says? It says, speak the same thing. There be no divisions, perfectly joined together. That's what he means when we're talking about united prayer in the Spirit. Some people want, that's scripture, Pastor. They all say the same thing. Exactly what we're supposed to do. we're saying the word of God. In Jesus' name, I have life. We're saying the same thing. Father, strengthen me according to your word. We're saying exactly what. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. So that our prayers will be in harmony. See, I can be saying something and then you are saying something and this one is saying his own and that one is saying his own. Speak the same thing. Say the same thing. Perfectly joined together in the same mind. Mind there means the same understanding. That's what we are working on now. United praying tongues, groaning with love, unity in love, and unity in knowledge. Unity in what we are saying. That, it is this united prayer in the Spirit that is going to cause an amplification of God's power. One will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000 to flight. Five will put 100 to flight. 100 will put 10,000 to flight. At the different levels of capacity that is going to be used at this correction. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. That is being used. And you know what, honey? It didn't start yesterday. God told me, he said, I've been working on you people. I've been working through you. Not just Olubi Johnson alone, but, you know, all of us. He said, I've been working through you since 2000. The 99. He said, once you entered the third day, he said, I started working on my church. Looking for people who will be united in love, united in knowledge, in speaking the same thing, and who are being trained to be disciples, praying with all kinds of prayer as a daily habit. And that's what we've been practicing all these years. Say, what? The glory hasn't come. It's being stored. He said, but you can look back these 20 years or 20-something years. Have I not kept you? Have I not supplied your need? Have I not sanctified you? I said, Lord, indeed you have. He said, I know what I'm doing. He said, I'm storing up the power. I'm storing up the power. I'm going to close. And we're going to all stand to our feet. So we pray daily. I say daily. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. God didn't hear you. No, I didn't write these scriptures. I wish I did, but I didn't. He says, who in the days of his flesh, take up your cross daily and follow me. It's a daily thing. Oh, daily unity in love. Daily speaking the same thing. Daily praying in the Spirit. I know now that we are very close. Because all the wisdom and this. So power is being released to protect us, to keep us, to provide for us. While we are waiting for the glory. God, there's no point in me dying before the glory comes. So God has to protect me. There's no point in me getting into sin, God forbid, you know, and get disqualified from the glory. So as we are praying now, power is being released to protect us, to keep us, to provide for us while we wait for the glory. You can now understand this scripture. All things are working together for your good. between now and when the glory happens, and even after, you know, as you pray on a daily basis, all things will continue to work together for your good, for your protection, for your provision, for your health, for your healing, for your sanctification, so that you will be qualified for the glory when it comes. I didn't hear. Number two, the power is being stored up. You see this in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8 and 8:3. You know, the bowls that are the elders are holding, he says, they had incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Then when you get to verse 3, we looked at this last time, so I'm not going to go into detail. You know what he says? He says, much incense. Everybody say, incense? Much incense. Say, incense? Much incense. Ask your neighbor, how did it go from incense to much incense? By amplification. That's why we have generating saints. The generating saints are the elders. So the contributing saints are the ones who are praying every day. So it goes into a bowl carried by the elder. So God now uses the spirit of the elder to amplify the one that the contributing saints are doing with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. When you are praying and my spirit with the, when you are gathered together and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, so it now amplifies it. It is that much incense that is delivered to the angel. So the angel now begins to mix it with the prayers of the saints that are on the throne of God, and begins to distribute it according to what each man has contributed, and then it goes into the earth. The glory is on its way. Stand to your feet. The glory of the latter house. Everybody say, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. You know, we're a privileged generation. Paul and others had a great thing. But what we have is greater. Not because we are greater than them. Certainly not. Not even by the slightest imagination. But because we're living in the end time. We happen to be living in the third day. That's the reason. The glory of this latter house is going to outstrip anything we saw in the Acts of the Apostles. It's going to outstrip what we saw in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus himself said so. I know it's difficult for men to believe, but the Bible says so, and the scripture cannot be broken. It's going to outstrip the prosperity and the power, the social and political influence that the church is going to have will outstrip, watch this, what Daniel had, what Solomon had, what Esther had, and what Mordecai had. Give the Lord a clap offering. So, if you are born again and you're spirit-filled and you are practicing the discipleship principles, stay where you are. You don't need to join any political party. If you want to join a party, it's okay. But trust me, you understand, it is better to be a kingmaker than to be a king. It's the people that God we speak that God will put there. People say, this one cannot go in enter. We're already doing it to some degree, but we're going to do it even more. Amen. Bad kings will be removed. Good kings will be elevated. And you know what it will be said of us? It says, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof, they will recognize that true power. It says, it does not come from the east or from the west. I have heard it once, yea, twice, that power belongs unto God. Come to God. Let's just do a short prayer. It's very simple, brethren. Just make up your mind you are going to be a disciple. Take up that cross daily. There is no other formula. Fear of God, love of God. So, just talk to God. Let's pray a simple prayer. Just say, Father, I confess my sins of unbelief. Where I have not believed that the glory of the latter house, me, can be greater than the glory of the former house. God, help thou my unbelief. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. I receive life and power into my spirit in sufficient measure. Oh Lord, I consecrate myself. Like Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. I will be a disciple. I will continue to practice the principles of discipleship. Daily praying in the Spirit with the fear of God and the love of God. I will keep your word in my heart and in my mouth throughout the day, at least once every 6 hours. I will do it. I yet not I, but your mercy and your grace that will be with me, so that you will generate power through me that will keep me, that will preserve me, and ultimately will glorify me in Jesus' name. Nekato freke klamatolo. Liprikito frene. Mercy, Father. Sheke kakakla. Lomprikakla. Tolomashto fre. Zofre. Lord Jesus, aprikitoloma. Lord Holy Spirit, tukushuku fre. Lord, Father, thank you, Jela prakatala. Ambre dolomato fre. Sam. Tuklomato fre. Sam. Tuklomato fre. Tuklomato freshe. Zikito fresh. Lombrodo fresh. In Jesus' name. You see, where there is no place for sickness here. This thing that is coming, you can't afford to be sick. So if you're feeling sick or anything, just touch your body, stretch your hand. The power of God is in the air. See, this part of God preserving us and keeping us while we're waiting for the glory. Father, we release your healing power into everyone whose hand is raised or whose hand is stretched forth, both here and at home. If you're at home, stretch forth your hands towards the screen. Lord, we release healing power now in Jesus' name. We say, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed and you are free. We come against spirit of infirmity, spirit of depression, spirit of oppression, every oppressing spirit. We cast you out. We destroy your works. Resist and we bind you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe these words have empowered you to live a victorious, transcendent life in Christ. Our mission is to equip God's people for service and build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources, including books, sermons, prophecies, and articles available on our website, spcconline.org. Thank you, and God bless you.